Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And co-host tonight, Christopher John O'Shea.
Yes, sir. Great to be with you.
Yeah, I have too many Irishmen to come on the show with me. You know, I gotta find a couple Italians. We do have one now.
Sure.
Leo Lavazza.
That's right. That's close.
But I got to see if Leo would be interested in doing radio with me. Now, we're going to have an Italian once in a while.
I think you may even have some others that are like half, you know, they got some mixture going on.
Jackson's got a tad of Italian in him.
There aren't many purebloods. You're one, and I'm kind of one on the other end.
Yeah, I understand. So anyway, we're here on an open show tonight, Chris, and that means that our listeners are our guests again, and they get to call in and ask questions. You know, it's funny. Every night, it's another night as to what's going to happen. Are we going to get a bunch of calls in the beginning? Are we going to get a bunch of calls at the end? Are we going to get a bunch of calls in the middle? Or are we going to get no calls? Who knows? We'll find out this evening. By the time it's over, we'll know the answer to that question, Chris. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question and lead the conversation saying, this is the conversation that is most important to me, you have an answer to this question, be it on estate planning, be it on income taxes, be it on IRAs and 401ks or investments or insurances, auto, home, life, long-term care. What's the topic that's most important to you? If it deals with your personal finances, we're here to answer it. And if you want to ask that question, it's 410-922-6680 to call in and ask the question that is most important to you. And as I always like to say, there's somebody out there that wants to hear the answer to your question other than you, but they're just not the kind of person that's going to call in. Do you have that, what it takes to call in and go on the air and ask the question that's important to you? And if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. I sound like I'm begging, Chris, because nothing's happened. Normally when I do that, I get something. But this time I got nothing. So
you'll get a couple. I mean, just for people, what about estate planning, right? So if we're talking to someone today, if you don't have a will, well, you do have a will. The state of Maryland has written a will for you if you don't have one. And you may not
When you say that, most people think that the will that they wrote is that the state takes all your money. And that's what they think, seriously. But what it is they use a family tree. If you don't have a will, the state of Maryland has written in their own family tree and says this is who your money's going to go to. If you're married, then it goes to your spouse. And if you have children, then it goes to your spouse and children, 50-50. And that's an interesting one, Chris. You know, like
I was going to say, the spouse gets $40,000 first, and then the rest of it is split. 50-50.
It doesn't even matter if those kids are only 3 or 4 years old. It's still split 50-50, and that means mom can't use the 50% that goes to the children to raise them because it's the children's money.
Right.
You can't take their money to raise them, and that's fascinating. And
you're getting ready for retirement and you think, okay, if something happens, then you know you want to give the money to your children after it provides for your needs.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, if you don't have a will and you've accumulated and you know, the money's sitting in your name only and you pass away, then 50% is going to go to your spouse and 50% is going to go to your children. We see that all the time where, like, a husband has a savings account or a brokerage account in their name only. Who knows why? And it might, let's say it's worth $200,000 and they never got a will. And then all of a sudden they die. And next thing you know, that $200,000 is being split between the spouse and the children, the adult children. And, you know, are the adult children going to give it back to mom? Yeah, you know what? I find that the answer is typically no. So anyway, there's lots of topics, Chris, that we could go on. I've been doing tax returns for the last 2 months, trying to catch them all and review them and so forth. And it's fascinating, you know, because not only do I do tax returns, but then we review tax returns for clients, okay? And I had an interesting one the other day, and I can't even remember all the mistakes that I catch. Mm. So a pastor did his own tax return and sent it to me saying, what do you think? Did I get it right this time? He didn't realize that he could take his mortgage interest deduction even though his mortgage interest was tax-free as a parsonage, right? So it's a parsonage. So pastor gets a parsonage,
right,
and his mortgage interest is tax-free, given to him by the church to live in, kind of like in the old days they let the pastor live in the building for free.
Right.
Well, nowadays, because they can't build a building for every pastor, they let them get the money tax-free. Well, even though it's tax-free, they can still take the deduction of the mortgage interest. He hadn't taken it. It was like $20,000 of interest.
Wow.
It caused an interesting difference. But here's the fascinating one. I'll give you just real quick. And he put in and asked, did he make any contributions to an IRA? And he put in, yes, $26,000, right? And the computer turned around and hit him with a penalty for
excess
contribution. And $1,000, and he couldn't even pick up on the fact that $1,000 was incorrect. Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, I've got to go to a pause. I'm going to be right back with Earl, Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're going to our callers, Chris. So here we go. Earl in Northwest Baltimore, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Drew, I have a question. You brought up wills. If you have children and you get married again, does that will which you set for your children, that doesn't mean anything now?
Yes and no. Let's say I write a will and I say I leave 100% of my assets to my children.
Right.
Okay? And I'm single. Right.
Right. Like me.
Like you. And you know, let's say I'm 65, 70 years of
right.
age, and all of a sudden I meet this wonderful woman and I decide
I'm going to happen.
But let's say I do.
Okay.
So I meet this wonderful woman and I decide I'm going to get remarried to her, but I'm not going to change my will because I want to leave it all to my children.
Right.
And you even talk to her and you say, you know, hey, I'm leaving everything to my children. You've got plenty of assets for yourself, don't you? And she says, yeah, etc. And you get married, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you die before she does. And now you've left everything you had to your children, and she has the right to come in and say, I was married to him, and he didn't leave me anything, mm-hmm. and take potentially up to a third of your estate, and it even could be higher under certain
wow.
circumstances, unless you do a prenuptial agreement before you get married and say, what I had before we got married is mine, and I'm going to leave it to my children. What you had before we got married is yours, and you can leave it to whoever you want to. But if we accumulate something after we get married, then that will go to you, et cetera, et cetera.
Hey, Drew, how long do you have to be married? Let's say a person's married.
Yeah, there is
1 year or 5 years.
Yeah, there is there are some rules in that regard, and in about 4 weeks, Raj Goyal will be on the air with us, and you can ask him that specific question.
I just wondered, because you brought up about wills.
I think it's about a year. After a year, they're locked in.
I know, like, to get your Social Security, that you have to be married 10 years. I think I even heard...
No, that's not true. That's not true. It could be literally 2 weeks, and it just depends on, did you die? And so forth. And then the Social Security may be able to do some investigating, but if there was no unusual circumstances, you get married and 2 weeks later you die, she gets your Social Security if she wants it, because she's your spouse. And that's
right,
absolutely
right.
But there are circumstances.
When you talk about wills, you get the creeps. You know, I don't know.
I understand. I got to run, Earl, but questions. Great questions. Thank you. Ray in Hunt Valley. I live in Hunt Valley. How are you doing there in Hunt Valley, Ray?
Very good. Thank you for your help. My question is about the capital gain.
Okay.
And, what's the limit you can no tax? And the age, if you're a senior citizen.
Age doesn't mean anything, okay? It's all based on income. Are you single or married?
Married.
Okay, so it's about $82,000 of capital gains without any other income. So if you have no other income, you could take $82,000 of capital gains without paying any tax on it. But now let's say you have $50,000 of Social Security. Now every dollar that you generate in capital gains could bring some of that Social Security into
My question about the house. Say I bought the house 20 years ago for $200,000. Now it's $600,000. I want to sell it.
Okay, that capital gain on your sale of your home, your personal residence, is a $500,000 exclusion. So if you bought it for $200,000, you get a $500,000 exclusion. You could sell it for up to $700,000 without any capital gains. But now remember that there are always expenses in selling a house. So if you sold it for $700,000, you could easily have $35,000 or $40,000 of expenses in selling it, commissions and so forth. So you could technically sell it for $735,000, $740,000, and still walk away 100% tax-free. So it's $500,000 sale of a home, capital gain exclusion. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Good question, though. We're on an open show, Chris. No more callers on the line. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question. And these open shows are your time to call in and direct the conversation, know exactly what we're going to talk about. I think in a week or two, what's next Tuesday or next Wednesday is the 13th, right?
Yep.
I'm pretty sure it's the 13th that I'm going to have next week. I'm going to have Eli Knopf on, and we're going to be talking about if you have trouble with the IRS and how to get out of trouble with the IRS and do it in the most economical way possible. But we're also going to be talking about retention payroll tax credits, something that a lot of businesses are not taking advantage of as they could. And the reason why you might want to do that. So it's almost as good, if not better, than the PPP loan. So, you know, this is something that you want to not miss if you're a business owner, in case there's something that you could get from the government for free. You know, you want to get it. Anything we can get for free, we want to get. Let's go to Jay in Baltimore City. Hey, Jay, how can we help you?
Hi, how you doing today, sir?
Good. What's up?
Yeah, my question was, I have a small investment account for my teenage son, and just wondering, he's about 15 now. At what point can I set up, say, something like a Roth or,
As soon as he starts working, does he have a job? Does he ever make $500 doing something?
Not officially, no.
Right, you got to get him a W-2 job or he has to open up a little business and make a few thousand dollars and actually, but I wouldn't recommend that. It would cost you a fortune in taxes if he was self-employed. unless he really makes a lot of money. But if, you know, if he's willing to, you know, like if you owned a business and you hired him, we do that all the time with our business owners. We hire our children and then we put their money into Roth IRAs and so forth. So the only way you can do a Roth, Jay, is you have to have earned income. W-2 income. So get the little guy a job, man. Get him out there. Make him make him fend for himself, you know?
Well, he does do some reffing and some other things that he makes a little bit of cash money off of. And like I said, we do have an E-Trade account, a custodial account for him.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're right to get it to the Roth because in that custodial account it's taxed at your tax rate. Unless it's under 2,000 of total income per year, so it's always good to try to get it into a Roth as quick as possible.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, buddy, you take care. Good question.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're on an open show. We only have about 30 seconds now, but if you want to call in, we've got time. We've got about 3 minutes or 4 minutes between now and the next segment of the show. All the lines are open, totally, completely vacant and open. That means your call will be the first one answered after we come back from the next pause. And if you want to call in and ask that, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. 6680 to call in and direct the conversation in the second half of the show. We're looking forward to talking to you. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And our listeners bless me greatly that I don't have to talk to Chris for the next half hour.
Well, you can talk to me. It's just whether I talk back, right?
Yes, that is true. I'm going to put my glasses on, too, for this. So we've got callers on the line. We're going to David in Westminster. David, how can we help you? David?
Hello, how are you today?
Great, and you?
Good. My question is, I have two traditional IRAs.
Okay.
About between the two, 600... 650,000 between the two.
Okay.
I'm 62 years old.
Okay.
Is it worth doing the Roth conversion or not?
Well, I would never do the full 600,000, you know. Are you going to live in Maryland for the rest of your retired years?
No, I'll be living in Pennsylvania.
Okay, well, I wouldn't convert a nickel until I moved to Pennsylvania. Are you already living in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
So you already live in Pennsylvania, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, you know, you can convert up there, but, you know, I'm assuming your current income is what, $150,000, $100,000, $200,000, what? General ballpark.
I have my own business. I draw a $65,000 salary, and then the rest, it's an S-Corp. The rest, I take at the end of the year, and it varies. The last couple of years, because of COVID, hasn't been so well.
But, you know, in general, what do you make? 200, 100, 500?
Before COVID and everything was in the 300 range.
Okay.
And after COVID now, about 120.
Right, but even in the 300 range, you know, if you converted that whole 600,000, you'd be pushing your tax bracket up to 37%. There's no reason to be doing that. What I would do is wait until your income comes down a little more, and then, you know, if you can convert in the bringing your total income up to a couple hundred thousand and just keep whittling away at it. I can think of no real benefit of doing a mass conversion at this moment in time. You're just going to pay extra taxes on it unless you're absolutely convinced that your tax bracket in the future will never be lower than what it is today if you did a mass conversion. I can't imagine that would be true. So
that's what I was thinking, and you know, I've discussed with others, and they said, you know, just leave it the way it is. And
I wouldn't leave it the way it is. I'd be whittling away at it. Maybe, you know, if your income's down a little now, I'd take 20 here, 20 there. If your income's down a lot, I take 50 here, 50 there, et cetera, et cetera. All right, David? Good question.
All right.
Thank you. We're going to Larry in Timonium. Larry, how can we help you?
Yeah, hey, Drew. I heard you say in the last segment that you're exempt from capital gains for $500,000. I have a question about that.
That's for personal residence, right?
Yeah, I just sold a house that Married I inherited.
Yeah.
And my parents paid like $18,000 for it, and I sold it for $289,000, and I netted $271,000.
How did you get the house?
I inherited it.
Right. So you got to step up in basis when you when your parents died, when the last of your parents pass away.
Yeah, that's a good question. 2002.
You inherited that house in 2002?
Correct.
And what'd you do with it for those years?
I basically lived in it.
Oh, so you've lived in it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to step up in basis in 2002, which I would bet in 2002 houses were starting to rock and roll. You know, you probably don't have more than a $500,000 gain in it, and you're probably tax-free.
Yeah, here's my question, though. The professionals that I've talked to are telling me that I'm exempt for up to $250,000, but you just said in the last...
Well, but you're single. Are you single or married?
I got married 3 years ago.
Well, then you're married. So then and she lives in that house with you?
No, we live in her house.
What about the house that you used to live in where your parents' house?
Yeah, I basically lived in that and with my wife for the three years we've been married, but now I sold that house and I'm living with her permanently.
Okay, but she lived with you in that house for two of the last 5 years, correct?
We've lived kind of like 50-50 between the house I inherited and the house that I live in with her.
It gets complicated then.
Yeah,
so the question you have to ask yourself, or she has to ask herself, is what was her principal residence and what was your principal residence? Okay. And that's an interesting question.
I might have to call you. I might need to ask you your phone number in a minute, but let me ask you this one question.
Go ahead.
Here's where my confusion lies. Am I exempt from capital gains for $250,000 or $500,000?
As a married couple, each of you gets $250,000, but you both have to be able to claim that it was your principal residence for two of the last 5 years before you sold it. Okay, so that's the simple thing. You think about that question, and it's where did you file your tax returns? Where did your driver's license go? What did you consider your, you know, these are the kind of things the IRS would ask you if they questioned that. All right?
Yeah, can you give me your phone number to get in touch with you?
410-823-SAVE, S-A-V-E.
210-823-SAVE.
410-823-SAVE.
Yeah, I heard some morning guys talking about their help that they got from you, and I might need to give you a call. I'd like to.
All right, Larry. Good talking to you. Thank you.
Bye.
So we're going to Mary in Lakeshore, Maryland. Whoops, she's gone. So what, you know, I wanted to actually answer Mary's question because she's talking about the new Hogan retirement. First off, you know, we're still not 100% confident exactly what they passed and what it's saying. At least I'm not. Maybe, Chris, you're more confident about what exactly they're saying. But, you know, we were giving them a little applause for, you know, but I think they lied to, I think they did. I think they made it come across like if you make less than $100,000 and you're 65 or older, that you were going to pay no taxes. You know, I don't necessarily know that that's going to be true. Wait, Mary's on the line. We'll let her ask the question. Mary, how can we help you?
Hi. I am suddenly single, and I want to leave some money to dog rescue groups.
I guess
I'll use a will.
Right.
And my question is, I have one rescue group in mind, but I can't give them all that money. So, number one,
Do you have IRA monies?
Yes, I have. I have money, cash, IRAs, and 401k.
So, what your best bet to do is to make the beneficiary on your IRAs and 401ks to those pet rescues.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, you know, do a will and leave whatever other monies you have to whoever else you want to, unless you want to leave that all to Pet Rescue also. But that's what mm-hmm. we normally do. Any charities, we leave the pre-tax money to. And on any after-tax assets, we leave to other individuals that the people want to leave their estate to. Or do you want to leave every nickel of everything you have to Pet Rescue?
Maybe every nickel.
Okay. Well, you know, I would still make the beneficiary of your IRAs the Pet Rescues and mm-hmm. and your 401k. And then I would mm-hmm. go get a will. And any lawyer can do this that does wills. And you're where? Where are you located? Lakeshore, Maryland? That down near Pasadena?
No, Sparks.
Which one?
Sparks, Hunt Valley, Sparks area.
Oh, okay. You're on in Hunt Valley, Sparks area. Well, in about mm-hmm. 4 weeks, Raj Goyal will be online with me. He's a very good attorney. He could do it. And Jeff Higdon, who we like to use a lot down in Towson, he's actually right near the Beltway, right across from the Pepper Mill. He's very good. He could do this for you very easily. All right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Yep.
Okay. And okay, so would I have to pay any taxes, or how would that work?
When you pass away?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. If you're leaving everything to charity, it's 100% tax-free.
What about if I'm leaving a house?
To somebody other than charity?
No, to a charity also.
No, that's charity is 100% tax-free, no matter what, you know?
Oh, okay. Okay, so the house will be sold. Okay.
Yeah, so even your IRAs, which are taxable, will be tax-free to the charity.
Oh, good, okay.
So, all right?
Okay,
I got to run because we're going to be out of time here.
Thank you, bye.
All right. We still have two or three lines open. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Easily could take three more calls if you want to call in. We'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I don't think so. Bachman Turner Overdrive. Told you.
What's the right thought? I'm going to say 1972.
Hey, what?
Smoke on the Water.
What kind of worthless information is that, Chris?
See, the more, you know, I can get, it just keeps the brain working.
Yeah, I guess. My brain sort of stopped working when I listened to that kind of stuff. Anyway, let me put my glasses on, Chris. Give me a second. Because when I put my glasses on, it says Hal in Wisconsin. Hal in Wisconsin. How can we help Hal in Wisconsin?
I want to get my income down for Irma.
Yeah.
And I put the money in the IRA this year for last year, and that will bring my income down because I'm over the cliff.
So remember that the cliff is like 180 some thousand this year, right?
Yep.
And so you had earned income this year?
Yes. Actually, it's for 21 taxes.
Right. And I understand. So your 21 taxes are going to affect your 23 Medicare Part B premium, right?
Right.
And so you and your spouse didn't have any kind of pension plans. Is that correct?
My wife does have a pension plan.
But you don't.
Correct.
So you can do the $7,000 IRA, and if that would get your income down below the $180-some thousand of income, then you'd be absolutely correct in doing a traditional IRA contribution.
Okay, after.
And Kate, remember, you don't have to do the full $7,000. You may be able to get away with just $1,000 or $2,000 to get you down, because all you got to do is be over that stupid number by a dollar, and they're going to whack you over the head with about a 50% increase in your Medicare Part B premium.
Yeah, I know. It's wasted money. Why? 2 years? 2 years from now, I won't be making.
Well,
sold a house or sold a rental place. That's what really knocked us up.
One of the saddest tax returns I ever did, Hal, was back about 10 or 15 years ago, and the client had $76 over the Medicare Part B premium, and they were retired, and there was nothing I could do to get that income down. You know? I even called Social Security with him after we filed the tax returns and they did the increase, and I asked him, I said, you're kidding. You're going to charge him $1,800 more dollars in Medicare Part B premiums because his income was $76 too high? Does that not sound unfair to you? And the lady, lady on the other end of the line said, sir, I don't write the rules. I'm just telling you what we're going to do. And yes, we are going to charge him $1,700 more for his $76 of extra income. And I swore from that day forward that we're going to work. We're going to figure out any way to get our clients under these, and we're going to be more careful about it in the future. So.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do that then.
Yeah, take care of it. That's a good decision, my friend. All right.
Okay.
All right. Good question. Anyway, we're here on an open show, Chris. We got about 6 minutes left. We could probably take one or two more callers. Anybody want to call in and ask a question? You have time, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. And, you know, Hal's question is a great one with the Irma surcharge. And like I was talking about my client who's retired. But, you know, one of the things we do to try to make sure that we don't get those mistakes, like where we're just a dollar over the Irma surcharge, is we always encourage our clients to do all their charitable giving through qualified charitable distribution. So what does that mean? That means that if you're 70 and a half years of age or older, and keep in mind, you literally have to know when your 70 and a half birthday is to be 70 and a half and older. You have to have an IRA. It cannot come out of a 403B or a 401K. You can give up to $100,000 per person per year, tax-free, to a charity outside of your out of your IRA, and not reported as income. So let's say I'm somebody who's making, you know, $180,000 or whatever thousand a year, and I have to take $20,000 out of my IRA, but I always give my church $10,000 a year. Just think about it. If I make $180,000 or whatever, and I give $10,000 of my IRA to charity, now I'm only going to be reporting $170,000. I'm not going to be anywhere near that. So anyway, let's go talk to Laura and ask for her question. Laura in Baltimore City, how can we help you?
I have a question about the Maryland 502R having to do with a Roth IRA.
Yep.
I don't understand what I'm looking at. It on the form, it has this thing. Anyway, I have a very simple Roth IRA.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the, you know, according to Section 408, I have no idea what that is.
So what they're looking for is if you got a distribution from a 401K or a 403B that's Roth-oriented, and if it is, then you would, I'm not sure that, you know, because there is a quirky thing on the 502R where they're just asking you if you got distributions from a IRA or a Roth. 408 is the IRA laws, right? If I'm not, I'm almost positive.
Apparently, yes.
Yes, and so, and I think they were just accumulating information on that. There's nothing you could do with it, though, unless you can prove that you're. IRA was a rollover from a 401k.
And, no, it's not.
Well, I'm just saying that that's part of the law, that if it, you had an IRA that was solely a rollover from a 401k, you could take a distribution of it and claim the exemption for, you know, the Maryland exemption for pension income and so forth. So it's a quirky form because they were gathering information off of that form as well as doing the exemption calculation.
So what, see, I don't understand what to do for it. It's very simple. It's one I set up back in the 80s, and it doesn't
But you
have
didn't draw
money
any money out of
and
it.
And I took my first distribution.
Well, you don't have to ever take a distribution from a Roth IRA, right?
I don't have a Roth.
Oh, you have a traditional
IRA.
A
traditional, simple IRA.
Okay. Well, you know.
So I don't understand what I'm supposed to do with the form. It says to fill out Section 5.
Well, I don't have Section 5 in front of me to tell you what that says. What's it say?
It has a bunch of lines that say different things, like a 401k and the IRA and the IRA Roth. And it lines up with something vertical and horizontal, and it has X's in it. And am I just supposed to color in the one that applies to me?
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you trying to do your Maryland tax return via hand?
Well, normally I can.
Well, you shouldn't. You should be doing them via computer now because—
I'm sorry. I don't have a computer. I don't know how to use them. I hate them.
Well, then find somebody who does. I could, you know, I understand your contempt for them and so forth, but let me tell you something. If you don't start filing them by a computer, you're going to have an issue in the future. You may not like that, but I'm just telling you the truth. Did she hang up on me?
No, I didn't.
Oh, there you go. Oh, anyway, I thought I was being obnoxious enough that you might have hung up on me, but I'm telling you that, you know, like, for example, in 2020 when that COVID thing broke out, you probably had a mess on your hands sending paper into them.
No.
Really? Because we had a client this year. We said, don't ever file paper again because he got a letter that said, oh, we got some money from you, but we never got your tax return.
Yeah.
Well, he sent it in, but they never got it. They never got it.
I've called them twice.
It's in a stack here.
I've called them twice on this 2019 tax return, and they have no idea. They say, well, we've got a return here, but we really don't know what happened with it. They call it an amended, a duplicate. I'm just telling you, Laura, I understand your frustration, but I would do it via computer. And unfortunately, we're out of time.
Okay.
And find somebody that'll do it for you. There's plenty of free people that'll do it for you.
Oh.
All right?
Okay.
AARP has clinics around where they'll normally do it for you for free.
Oh, so, that's right. I forgot about them.
Seniors, yeah. All right?
All right.
Thank you. I understand her frustration with computers. And so a lot of people who have never really dealt with them, they can be intimidating. But you really got to find somebody who can file your taxes for you electronically.
Right, sure.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Show them the way. Things are gonna be much better.